Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you. Let's go ahead, and as we get nestled in, would you go ahead and take hold of your Bible? If you have a Bible, that would be wonderful. Also, the bulletin will be helpful for you today. You'll see on the back of the bulletin is the outline of today's message. As we reach for the Bible, let's go ahead and reach for the lights and see what you look like. Oh, man, marvelous, darling. Looking so good. Yeah, and look how happy you are. Go ahead and turn to somebody. Just smile at them. Prove my point. See, a little bit of extra stuffing will go miles sometimes. Great. Well, friends, this morning, if you happen to need a Bible, if you just raise your hand, our wonderful ushers will put that Bible in your hand. If you don't have a Bible, we welcome you to take that home. We aim for the paper rendering, but boy, electronic apps are great too, and Wi-Fi is available. And we welcome all of you also watching live. We are beginning, and I'm glad that you're with us, we are beginning our holiday series. Our holiday series is entitled Jesus, Celebrating All That He Is. And if you've been with us, you'll know that we like talking about Jesus. You may have seen even in the foyer, it says it's all about Jesus. We love talking about the four main ministries that are found through Jesus, our Savior, baptized in the Holy Spirit, healer, soon coming King. And so how much more so during this holiday time to talk about Jesus. And today we're going to deal with a topic that is entitled Jesus, the Boy with a Purpose. Now, since it is this wonderful holiday season, I've got time for two jokes. Are you ready for it? All two of you. That's all you're going to get. First one goes like this. Man died and left his wife $20,000. And at the funeral, the woman leaned over to her friend and says, "I'm flat broke." Her friend says, "Flat broke? I thought you had $20,000. She said, "Well, I spent $5,000 on the funeral and $15,000 on the stone monument." Her friend said, "Wow, that must be quite a monument. How big's this stone?" And she lifted her hand up and says, 3.5 carat. For the sermon, this minister I heard walking down the street and comes across this circle of boys standing around a dog. And so he went up to them and said, "Hey, guys, what's happening?" And the boys said, "Well, we're having a competition, sir, and the one that tells the biggest lie is going to get the dog to take home." And so the minister broke into a 10-minute sermon, and he said, "Well," he started off with how lying is a sin, and he ended with how when I was your age, I never told a lie. And so it was just silent among the boys. And the minister said, "I'm finally getting through to these guys." Till the youngest one says, "Okay, let's give it to him, the dog." So here we go. So we start this holiday series. We're grateful to talk about Jesus. And we're taking a look at him as a boy with purpose. And you know, you and I aren't going to be able to receive much unless we just ask the Lord. I know that you pray before you read the Bible. Let's just pattern that as well. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's going to lead and teach us, because there's going to be something for each one of us that really helps. And so we welcome your involvement. And allow us to see things from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, boys are wonderful. Ainsley and I had one boy, two girls, and now those three are all married and off and running. And on the 9th, we're going to be expecting our 7th grandchild. It'll be our 4th grandson. So our youngest daughter, Holly, and her husband, Dave, this will be their third boy. Can you imagine? So we have three grandboys and three grandgirls. And boys are different, aren't they? I mean, there's something about them. It's amazing. I was a boy. I'm liking the fact I was a boy. I'm glad Jesus was a boy. I can relate with boys. They play differently than girls. And you just start to realize, wow, there's uniques and patterns and personalities, and you start to recognize that these children do have ways and means and purpose. And it's wonderful when you start to see the developmental structure in a child. When you start to look at Jesus here, and we really do get a chance to see three cameo appearances prior to his age 30, we're going to see the other two next Sunday, a total of five of them. But we're seeing here that Jesus, as a boy, he grew up in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. The first 2 years, we're going to take a look at that. And then when Herod went after his life, an angel warned Joseph and Mary, get down to Egypt until I summoned you back up. When they did come back, then they settled in Nazareth. That's where Jesus was raised. So we're looking here, and it's interesting to note because the Holy Spirit has what he wants for people to know about our salvation, our redemption. In other words, where did we come from? Genesis. How did all this come from? And what family did Jesus come through? And naturally, Israel. And so we have certain historical elements, even in his own life. Most of it is emphasized on Jesus' life the last week the Gospels are written. So when we take a look at the early years of Jesus, we recognize that there are just those five moments that Scripture brings up. And then theologians call it the silent years. And then all of a sudden, at age 30, we see Jesus reappear when John baptizes him, and off goes his public ministry for the next 3 years. And then he gives his life for you and me. That's where there are no silent years. Probably what people know about Jesus are fables or things that are myths that are not true. I mean, if you were to take a looker, there's a lot out there that really were fabricated. Things like that Jesus healed baby birds. There's one thing out there, Jesus carried around his little swaddling clothes and laid it on a demon-possessed boy, and the boy was healed. Those are fables. Those are just myths. There's another one where he walked by idols, and every time he walked by an idol, they just crumbled into ash heaps. There's one that said that the reason why Jesus went down to Egypt so that he could practice the occult, and with the practice, that's how he swayed people into telling others that he was the Messiah. Now, remember, those are fables. Those are things that people wrote during the silent years. But we do have some things here this morning. I'm in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So if you find Luke chapter 2, and if you're using one of our church Bibles and you find Luke chapter 2, if you could give the page number for our guests, they'll go right to it. Anybody have the page number? 588. There you go. 588 is where you'll find us this morning. In Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to start with verse 21. We're looking at the circumcision. We're going to look at his dedication and then the visitation. But we're starting with the circumcision of Jesus. I'm in chapter 2, verse 21. It says, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So we see here a couple of things. First of all, because of the Jewish law that at the 8th day, the child, if it's a male, was to be circumcised. There was the cutting of the skin. It was the mark, the symbol that this family, this person now, is in a covenant with God, the same covenant that God set up with Abraham. And all of your descendants that are male will be circumcised on the 8th day. On the 8th day, that child was then given the name. Now, Joseph already knew the name. The angel told him, hey, you're going to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their what? Yes, Mary knew the name. So they didn't have to go through like you do. You'll Google a name and, you know, 1,100 names, and which one shall we pick, right? We don't know. Don't pick that one. In grade school, man, that was one bad dude named that. I don't want my child named after that. But Jesus was already named by the angel, and it's important for us to recognize, because on that eighth day, we see a couple of things: the naming of the child, and he's circumcised. One of the element of Donald Barnhouse, he said that even at the very beginning of Jesus' life, he starts to suffer. The element of cutting. And that area where he's cut, it seems to be that area that's passed on from sin to the next generation, to the next generation. And God's saying, you're now in a covenant. You are in a covenant with me. So when we see here, it's important, letter A, his heritage is vital for us to recognize. That Jesus was raised a Jewish boy. He was raised in a Jewish home. He was brought up among Jewish rituals according to the law of Moses. That's important for us. It was not tradition of the Pharisees or scribes. That's important to know. He was not raised up with the tradition of the Pharisees. They had a lot of weirdness going on at the time of Jesus. But he was brought up among the Jewish rituals. He fulfilled. Matter of fact, Matthew 5:17, when Jesus spoke, he said, I did not come to break. I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to do that. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. So Jesus is the fulfillment of that. Galatians 4:4. Remember when Paul, the apostle, is writing, in the fullness of time, God sent forth Son, born of a woman, born of a virgin, born under the law. In other words, fulfilling that. So his heritage was sweet. That's important. And he had a mark. That's also important. The circumcision was very important. Matter of fact, that brought in the purpose for his life. He's in covenant with God. You know, so are you who believe in Jesus. You've been marked. Matter of fact, let's just pause for a moment and write down and then go to Ephesians chapter 1. If you're in Luke, let's go to the right. Let's pass Acts and Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then you'll see Galatians, little epistle, then Ephesians. I'm going to Ephesians 1:13. I'm in Ephesians 1:13. You've been marked. You have a heritage. You've got a purpose in Christ. This verse describes it. Let's look at verse 13, verse 14 as well. In him, in Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also have been believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Man, it's something when you walk around. I'll tell you, the unseen realm knows that you're a marked person because of the Holy Spirit that's upon you. For you who profess faith in Jesus, he came to remove our sins. And there's a mark on your life. You've got a sweet heritage. Let's look at letter B. How about his name? We know this, that the name came at his circumcision. The next step is, a couple of things happen, that all of a sudden, that name is Joshua, is another way of saying it, or Yeshua. The name given by the angel upon his conception. That name Jesus, or Yeshua, literally means God is salvation. So the name is significant as well. There's something to the name that God is salvation. So Jesus came not to help merchants have a better product line and sales, or to allow young people to have 2 weeks of vacation or workers to have a few extra days off. He came to save people from their sins. That's what the angel told Joseph. You're going to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What did he come for? That's important. I know you and I need to remind ourselves, man, this Christmas, Jesus came because he's saving us from our sins. And so when Jesus came, he didn't come to save us from our insecurities or our hangups. He doesn't come to just kind of say, well, you know, I'm just going to like help you along here. There's a real sin issue with our society. And he came for that. And when a person finally realized, man, I've got a lot of load. How do I get rid of this? Man, Jesus, he came to save us. That was his purpose. That was his purpose in life. Can you imagine? I'm sure, being a parent, now a grandparent, you want to know what the purpose is for that little person. You want to know what the purpose is for your children. You imagine knowing that your purpose for your son here, Jesus, is to die. His purpose was to die. Now, inevitably, that's going to happen to all of us. But God's plan, the Father's plan, was to send his son to save people from their sin, which included death. Man, I don't know if you've ever launched somebody knowing if they'll ever return home. We've launched some great people from this church saying, you know, I hope you come back to the States, that you don't lose your life over there in foreign soil. But if it comes to that, would you? We see God the Father sent his son. It's in the name. How about number two, the dedication? In Luke chapter 2 now, let's go to verse 22, the dedication of Jesus. We come to his dedication. It's sometime later than the circumcision. It's about 40 days. The baby Jesus is now 40 days at least old. Let's look at verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now they returned back to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So we see here, two things are happening right here at this time, the purification of Mary. In Leviticus 12, you can read all about it. It's a short little chapter, but verse 8 especially, that the woman, if she gives birth to a male, has to wait at least 40 days. She's unclean, and when she's now ready, she takes a lamb into Jerusalem to sacrifice for her purification. And lambs were expensive, so the law permitted two pigeons. Now, you and I can go on down the street and pick up two pigeons or two turtle doves. And they were poor. Mary and Joseph were poor. The other thing is, it's the dedication of Jesus. So the purification of the mother, the dedication of the baby. We look at verse 22. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present, to dedicate him to the Lord. So that's an amazing thing. First born brought the dedication, and not only that, it was required of the law that that male was to be dedicated. In other words, almost like a sacrifice to God. But the parents would pay 5 shekels to redeem their child. This child belongs to God. We'd sure like to take him home. Okay. Then you pay the ransom 5 shekels. And now you take that child home and you raise him for the Lord. Much the way we do here at Hope Chapel. I hold the child. It now belongs to God. We pray that blessing. That child is now God's. But God is so smart to give you the child to raise for him. Here you go, Dad. Here you go, Mom. Whenever, however, God wants to use that child, be prepared. Be prepared. That child now belongs to the Lord. That's what's happening here. The life purpose for Jesus, he's dedicated to God. Dedicated. He's got a mark, and he's dedicated to God. And so we see here, that Mary as well in her purification. A couple of things happen here because we have in that same scene a couple of human interest stories. We like that, don't we? Real life interest stories. Letter A, Simeon's excitement takes place here. Look at verse 25. 25 through verse 35. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it happened, or it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You take a look here. It's interesting. Simeon, tradition has this dude at about 113 years of age. We don't know. He could actually be 20 years of age. Most take it that he's just one old guy hanging out in the temple, and the temple's a large acreage of courtyard where basically the Holy of Holies sits. We can't wait to take you to Israel with us in October. You're going to see this is one big, massive, that Temple Mount structure. You can imagine if Simeon's hanging out in that temple, he's looking for that one person or child that would be the consolation, the Messiah. And I don't know if you've ever been in a sea of people, because tradition says there was literally thousands just going in and out of the temple. We'll show you the steps that probably Mary and Joseph carried little baby Jesus, and Jesus himself walked up to enter into that courtyard, that massive courtyard. And that's where Simeon's checking it out. So we see something here that's taking place. And Simeon, we're not sure. All we take from the scripture is that the Spirit revealed that he would not die until he saw the Christ. And then he gives a prophetic praise. Now I can depart in peace. So everybody thinks, man, he may be some old dude. There's some great artwork out. Have you ever seen the picture of Simeon holding an infant? It's really touching. But we don't know much about Simeon at all. And I like that. I just bring that in because scripture doesn't bring up what this person looks like on the exterior. Not a thing. We don't even know anything about him on the outside. We do have a description on his inside. And that's important. There are times God, like he told Samuel the prophet, listen, don't go after that guy for the next king. I've rejected him. I don't judge people like man judges on the exterior. I judge the what? Yeah, God knows, doesn't he? I mean, you and I can baloney anybody, but God knows everything about it. And you know what? I love that. He still loves us. I love that. Lord, you know everything. You still like me. Man. And here we have this dude, Simeon. We have the description, not of what he looks like, but we have some things of his interior. Check it out with me. We can see it so clearly because it talks about him in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just. So we know he's just, and he's devout, and he's waiting for the consolation. He's waiting for the Messiah. And to kick it into high gear, man, this guy's engaged with the Holy Spirit. There's three times the Holy Spirit is brought in reference to his relationship. Check it out. Verse 25, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Ugh. That's sweet. I just don't know what would you want somebody to describe you by if that ever came down and say, you know, we just got to kind of like give our parting shot and tell you what that person was like. Yeah, he got great eyes and, man, blonde and tall, no thin, fit, not fit. Usually it's always the exterior, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great? Somebody said, man, that person was devout, serious about God. And your unsaved friends would say, you know, that's what I didn't like about him. Man, every time he always talked about Jesus. I hated that. Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't that be great? Man. So here's Simeon. The Holy Spirit was upon, verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. This is the day, Simeon, old man. or 20-year-old. This is the day. I mean, every day is probably maybe today. I got a promise. I don't know. Have you gotten a promise from God? And it's like, you know, it's been about 27 years. Maybe I should back off because it's just so achy, breaky heart. It just hasn't come about. Remember Abraham saying, you're going to have a child. Oh, maybe we should make our own breaks. Sarah, let's go get your handmaiden. Man, sometimes those things are just heart-wrenching. But today, we're in it. And Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, said, today, man, it's the day. He's in there. Ah! And he goes in there. And he, I don't know how the exchange was. Can I have your baby? No. Maybe he was just so exuberant. Give me him. No, I don't know if he did that. But it does say this, verse 28, and he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. I like that. There's been times I say, Lord, you're so faithful to you. We've done that for our own kids. Now our great Lord, you're so true to your word. All our kids will be raised in righteousness. Lord, you promised that even before Ains and I were engaged. All of our children, Isaiah 54, 13. It's a beautiful thing, according to your word. Here he's doing it. According to your word, verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples. What is he looking at? My eyes have seen your salvation. He is looking at a little 40-day-old baby boy. And what's important for us to recognize is that he's describing salvation as in a person. That's important for you and me, isn't it? It's in a person. Not in a form of do's and don'ts, according to some code of ethics or teachings or ways we got to get our act together. Salvation is in Jesus. Salvation is in Jesus. That's why our wonderful holiday, man, Jesus, and we're going to celebrate all that he is. This baby's got a purpose, and salvation can come to any one of you. Any one of you. My eyes have seen this. This is your salvation right here. Ooh, that's important, friends. You might forget that, or you may have lost your way, thinking, well, you know, I was raised in this kind of environment. I think I need to go back and do a little bit here and a little bit there. Well, that's tradition. Here's salvation. So when we look here, we can see so clearly, my eyes have seen your salvation. Verse 32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people. Now, it's interesting to note, and I like to remind myself how that the day I accepted Christ into my life, my eyes opened up. In other words, I was living in darkness until Jesus washed my sins and I could actually see. It's an amazing thing. Not only did this book come alive, I even enjoyed some of my childhood upbringing in some of those old, it's like, yeah, man, I'm grateful for my parents bringing me up that way. Making me go to Mass every day. I was grateful for it because I've come out of darkness and I could see things and it made sense. Now, I'm sure that if Simeon were to go over to King Herod in his palace and say, hey, King, you're in darkness, dude, and you need this salvation. He'd say, who do you think you are? Man, we're Rome. We bring Pax Romana here. We bring civilization. We're not in darkness. What if he were to swing over to the religious Pharisees and scribes and say, hey, you dudes are in darkness. No, 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 no. We've got the teachings of the great tutors and teachings of the law. Have you ever come? We're not in darkness. Who do you think we are? Jesus is the light. I mean, and light dispels darkness. I love when we talk about revelation, isn't it? There's not going to be any sun in the New Jerusalem, by the way, because Jesus is going to illuminate it so brightly. There's not even going to be a shadow in the place. And that is all-encompassing. So if Simeon were to go to those to Greece, if he went to Athens and say, you know, you Greeks, you're in darkness. You need Jesus. They say, what? No, we aren't. Man, we got these great philosophies going on. We've got all the teachers of Plato and Socrates and Aristotle. We're not in darkness. I'll tell you, when you accept Christ, you realize, you know, I was in darkness. I did not know. So, a light to bring revelation, a light. Jesus is that light. It's worth it to describe and talk about him. The solution for what we're all infected by, we're all SIN positive. Man, it's infecting everything. So psychologists or psychiatrists might say, no, the problem really is a behavioral disorder. Minority might say, no, it's a group struggle and it really is racism. It just comes down to sin. It just has an ability to eat at and make people evil and to do evil things. Jesus is that salvation. Oh, we're so grateful for Christmas and the promise of the Redeemer coming. So his purpose, his life is short. His death is sure. Sin's the cause. Christ's the cure. Man, I love the purpose of Jesus. When we take a look, there's a little bit of a note to Mary here, verse 34. And he brings up, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So literally he's saying he's going to be the most hated person in this environment and the most loved. It's still the same, isn't it? You bring up Jesus and people, oh man, you're a Christian, right on. Person's not a Christian. Will you get away? That's why we don't invite you to these parties. I can't believe it. And they walk out of the room. And then the prophecy to Mary, and even a sword's going to pierce you when she sees her own son die on the cross. Well, oh, we marvel. It's amazing. He's marked by God. He's dedicated to God. Let her be Anna's evangelism. Just kind of touch that for a moment. We take a look here. Another person is in the temple, same episode. Her name is Anna. She's 84 years of age. We do know that. Look at verse 36. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God. How did she serve God? It says with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Now I say Anna's evangelism because if you look there, verse 38, and you've got this woman, it says here, and she spoke of him to all. And she spoke of him to all. She spoke of him to all who looked for redemption. That's our first evangelism in Scripture. A woman, 84 years of age. Isn't it amazing? She's talking about him everywhere she goes. That's impressive. James Garfield said this, especially about not letting bitterness creep in as you get older. He says, if wrinkles must be upon your brows, let them not be upon the heart. The spirit should never grow old. And I add grumbly. And she's sharing her little heart out. This group, William Barclay, New Testament scholar, said this group of Simeon and Anna, they call them the quiet of the land. That's their group, the quiet of the land. They were just looking for the promise of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, somewhere that restoration, redemption is going to come. God's promised. And they're looking for the Messiah, the quiet of the land. They weren't like the zealots trying to win back their independence from Rome. That's it. They were just part of that group that was looking for. Well, number three, the visitation, we'll just touch on this a little bit because we're going to enjoy bringing that up. This is our third event, but this one is now in Bethlehem. Let's take a look. This is about 2 years after Jesus' birth. And let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Let's go to the left if you're still with me in Luke's gospel. We're now in Matthew chapter 2, And letter A, the givers. These are the three wise men, the magi. They're coming. And not to blow out of the water your wonderful nativity scenes, but we're going to see that the three wise men that are in everyone's box, and we bring it out, we don't know how many magi or how many wise men there are. We're not sure. We recognize a couple of things. One is that they are from the east. They're from the Medo-Persian era. They are following a star. They are called magistrates, thus magi. They were the governors that set the law of the land and even consecrated incoming kings. They were stargazers, and they must have gazed upon some form of galactical something or other. Nobody knows what that is. Something was Halley's Comet just flowing or lining up with the stars. Something was this Shekinah glory of God just sovereignly moving. But they engage that star, and they are making a long journey into Jerusalem. And they're looking for the Messiah. And they are not even Jews. They say, how did they get that? Most feel it goes all the way back from King Nebuchadnezzar, when he just raked the land of Jerusalem, took everyone captive back to Babylon. And during Daniel's day, as you read the book of Daniel, Daniel's the one that says there's going to come a light. And these magi are studying off of another magi, which is Daniel. Daniel was a magistrate, one of the most notable ones. We all love Daniel because it says he was of a righteous spirit, good spirit. Nothing's ever said about Daniel negative in scriptures. Most amazing personality. So these wise men, most have three wise men. Because of the three gifts, that's why they come up with three. I guess they all needed to give one. But we see in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, this is a big-time event. All Jerusalem's troubled. The king is troubled, which means we could literally say he's ticked off, because that's his name, King of the Jews. King Herod went by King of the Jews, and now these guys, where is he who's called King of the Jews? And so, as you can see, Herod asked for the religious leaders, what does the scriptures say? And they say, in Bethlehem. They even give him the place. But nobody ever went down to see when Jesus was born. This is about 2 years after his birth. So as we see here in verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child, and you can see it's Jesus is described as a child, not a baby, not an infant. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, I'm not sure exactly if you've ever seen somebody rejoice with exceedingly great joy. Isn't it fun? It's like little children, they know something great's just about to happen. You cannot control them. They rejoice with exceedingly. That means it wasn't just a yippee. I mean, they were probably not able to contain the ruckus of excitement. In verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when we look here, isn't it wonderful? Because we start dealing with some things. Let's just hit those gifts rather quickly. But we know that the Magi came. There's a number of prophecies in there. Numbers 24:17 talks about a star will come out of Jacob. But they've entered a house, and they see Mary, and they see Jesus, the child. And the gifts, letter B, that they present, gold, which is the king of metals and the medal of kings. You never went before a king without presenting gold. They knew that they were in the presence of somebody super spectacular. And they present gold to him. Frankincense is costly incense used by the priests. So, Holy Spirit wants us to realize these guys are bringing in frankincense. It's important. Jesus, our great high priest. Man, we love that. And then you have myrrh. That's a head scratcher because that's an ancient embalming fluid. It's a curious gift. You imagine you show up to your relatives this Christmas and say, you know, I've got some gold jewelry I wanted to pass on. And here's some embalming fluid just in case the gold doesn't go over so good. I'm going to kill you. But Jesus' early life shows his purpose, his dedication, his purification, and even the presentation of the gifts. An amazing thing. We recognize, too, that even myrrh, Isaiah says that he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Why the word crushed? Because when you prepare a body for burial, they would take myrrh and they would crush that product. And it would let off the beautiful aroma. Naturally, if there is any decay, it would be now a beautiful scent. He was crushed for our iniquities. Man, what a savior. It's going to be a wonderful holiday season. Glad that you've been here with us today. Want us to enjoy right now this moment as we close our Bibles. Let's sing this song together. I invite you to stand with me. I'll be back to pray, and Andre's going to come in just a moment just to present our final element of business. God bless you. Let's stand. Exquisite ways that lights get just splashed everywhere, and many say that's why lights are placed on the tree. Martin Luther started that, just the light of the world. Wouldn't it be great if you happen to be here this morning and, man, you just feel like, I just don't feel like things are quite right with me and Jesus. Let's make it right now. Wouldn't it be great if sometimes we don't even know, we're just kind of trafficking in darkness. Let Jesus help you. It's God's salvation. It's come for people. He didn't die for anything, animals. Didn't die for angels. He died for you. You're a person. If you're here right now, let's go ahead and close our eyes. We're going to pray together. But before we do, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, but today's the day, you're ready. Would you just put your hand up and say, that's me. I'm ready for that. Or you're ready to give your life back to God and say, you know, I need to make a new, fresh start. Just go ahead and put that hand up. Thank you. Anyone else? Go ahead and put the hand down. Thank you. I see it. Nice and hot, high so I can see it. Anyone else wants it? Just, you know, I'm ready to surrender my life to the Lord. Okay, good. Thank you. That hand down. For those three hands, let's go ahead and let's just all pray, shall we? A simple prayer. The Lord hears the cry of our heart. He's been waiting for each one of you today. He's so glad you're here. He really is. He made this day special for each one of us, but he always gets filled with joy in heaven when we get it and we want more of him. This prayer goes like this. Let's pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I confess to you now my need for you. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the many sins I've committed. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I believe you died for me and rose to life for me. Right now, I thank you for eternal life that begins today. And Lord, thank you for eternal life in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends. Thank you so much. I'm grateful, and for you who acknowledge that, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you prayed that prayer in a minute, I certainly would like to know about that. I know my wife Ainsley as well. It's just something about having a faith family that generates that emphasis of just being together. That old story, you've all been there on the shoreline at a fire ring. That one little coal ember away from the fire goes cold and dark. Let's keep lighting our lives up by hanging out with each other. I'm going to invite you at this time to just go ahead and please be seated as Pastor Andre comes.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.